I want everyone to take a seat because I'm not going to do an Anya and make you stand through the whole message. It's tempting just because it would be funny. I'm so privileged. I feel like a guest speaker all of a sudden. I'm so privileged to be here and to be able to share today. I'm just so privileged to be part of a family that has so much within it. And I love the idea that I can stand up here and talk about being like a guest speaker. I guess the worship team can take their break. John's threatening to stay up there because we joked about how one time Danielle was forced to stay up and, you know, I wanted to do the same thing. But I'm so privileged. I'm so privileged to be here because it is my house. It's our house. And I love the idea that despite the family resemblance, we're going to get Pastor Banny in. And he's going to be awesome, but I get to be in my house and I get to share a message that's for our house, you know. And I'm excited. There is a family resemblance. That's a little inappropriate, I know, but I'm going to go with it. I've done it now. I'm excited to be here. And I have to tell you, the message that I'm about to deliver is one that's been within me for a while. In fact, it was birthed whilst Val was pregnant. Pregnancy and birth, and still a little looking pregnant, I suppose, in my part anyway. The idea that this has been carried within me for like 12 to 18 months. And I still couldn't come up with a title. Amy asked me a couple of times in the last 2 weeks. She says, what's your title? And have you got any graphics? No, I don't know what my title is, but I know what my message is. So if it's okay with you, I went with prominence versus significance. And I really wanted to frame this as a question. Because it's a question that sat within me for the last 12 months at least, and maybe longer. And in some part, it's about the journey that Father's taken me on in discovering a little more of who He is. Actually, a lot more of who He is, but a little more of who I am. And that's been a process. It's been a journey. I've got a lot of technology up here. Are the slides working?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm hooked up and connected. It's awesome. But me being me, the best way for me to explain why this has come out in the way that it has, a lot of people come up with scripture, I come up with cartoons. It's a little bit of a, probably more of a comment on who I am. If you can't read it, it says, your resume states that you've worked with two presidents, won the Nobel Prize, and climbed Mount Everest. That's all fine and dandy, but how are you at telemarketing? It's a really simple thing. I went through a transition of life and career, and I went through this process of trying to find out what God had for me because He'd started to prompt me in a new direction. Now, how many knows that just because you choose to be obedient, it doesn't always become comfortable? So I found myself being the guy on the other side, and I wore my glasses intentionally so that you could see the resemblance. Thank you, Anya. That's not where I was going. But this idea that I wanted to do something because God had put something in my heart. And I was on this discovery of what that could be. And I'd run into this situation where I thought I'd done all this really cool stuff. And frankly, I still maintain that I've done some cool stuff in my own head. But people couldn't necessarily see it. And I look back on that now and I realize that God was doing a work already. He was taking some part of my identity and reforming it. He was stripping it away. And all of those things that I'm talking about were blessings that came from our Father anyway. So I'm not trying to discount them and I'm not trying to devalue them. But sometimes He's got to adjust how we think about our identity in order that we can move forward. Okay? It's a pretty deep cartoon, let me tell you. There's another one though. This is the other cartoon I ran into in my own little journey thus far. The one that says you're of no importance and that you're just a tiny speck in an enormous universe. And because this is my own personal preference, I might as well just go back to bed. How many are with me? How many have had that moment? Come on, don't lie. At the very least, you like a sleep in. This idea that there's a whispering that can happen as you journey into what Father has for you, that says, it doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't matter what you do. You're just small and insignificant. You're just this little speck. Might as well go back to bed. Solveig had a great scripture in her message, which, by the way, was outstanding and mind-boggling. I'm going to try to just be good. Ephesians 2, and in it, it said, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." We're being shaped. We're being built. Sometimes we're being adjusted so that we can know him better, so that we can receive more of who he is. Is that okay? This is just the introduction. Hopefully I haven't lost you. So for me, that looked like a journey of discovering this thing of what is prominence and what is significance and understanding how those things connect together. And because all English started in Oxford, why not? This is actually the slide I like to call the Facebook slide. This idea that prominence is defined as the state of being important, well-known, or noticeable. Or prominence is defined as how many likes you get on Facebook. Or how many people follow you on Instagram. I'm not saying those things are bad, by the way. Only because we do have a Facebook page. And I do think we're doing stuff on Instagram as a church. They're not bad in themselves. Okay. Sorry. Getting used to the clicker. They in themselves are not bad things. The state of being important, well-known, or noticeable. But one of the things that I discovered, and this is a little bit of discovery about myself, but I wonder if it's a comment around how we think about this thing more generally, is that whilst the definition starts with the state of being important, sometimes we define importance by how well-known or noticeable something is. It's a kind of inversion that says if you're well-liked on Facebook, or you've got loads of Instagram followers, then what you have to do or say might be important. Or in my case, I've got lots of LinkedIn followers. Does anyone have a LinkedIn? No, okay, all right, move on. No one cares about LinkedIn, stop mentioning it. Okay. But this is one of the tensions that I had to understand and explore for myself. And I'm putting it in front of you because I think it might be something that we've distorted as a whole. And I'm not talking about the church here. I'm not talking about those of us in the room. I'm talking about a society that says if it's known or noticeable, it might be important. One of the few things that Trump has said in recent times that I agree with is this idea that there's fake news out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Prominence first. But what about significance? What is that? The importance of something, especially when this has an effect on what happens in the future. The meaning of something. This word importance comes up again, but its context is so different. It's framed on its effect and its meaning. And I wonder if in some part the connection between these two things is about what we're going to explore. That's awesome. I've looked at the dictionary. Got you all excited about that, haven't I? Yay! Sam opened a dictionary. How thrilling. But what about what Scripture says? I want to agree some stuff up front. Because I think there's some presumptions and assumptions that we should just agree on. I want to agree, because I believe as a church we already agree this, that everyone, every human being, irrespective of geography, context, demographic, gender, heritage, all those words, has a desire to do something meaningful with their life. to make a difference. Do we? Can we agree on that? Yep. Awesome. And that they want to have in that a sense of value and worth. And as a church, as a group of believers, as a group of people who found ourselves in faith, we also say that God has placed that desire in each of our hearts. Do we agree with that? All right. Okay. I like people to agree with the obvious things, but it's important. These are the assumptions that underpin this. I'm also going to say that God has created each one of us for a specific purpose. Come on. And this is teaching that I think is in our house. It's embedded in every part of what we do. That joy and fulfillment is found in discovering that purpose and then pursuing it with passion. Is that okay? Come on. So today I want to explore a simple story, an illustration that maybe brings that to life. At least it did for me. And because all good things in my life start with a woman, usually it's Valerie, in this case it's someone else, it's a story about a woman called Dorcas, who was well known in this. I got one laugh in the whole room. It was Steph. Thank you, Steph. Everyone acknowledge Steph. Thanks, Steph. Desperate for a laugh. But she was well known in the city. So this goes to Acts 9, and it's part of Luke's account on the ministry of Peter. Everyone knows the Apostle Peter, right? Not everybody has focused on the story of Dorcas. But today I want to focus on her story. I want to look beyond the miracle that Peter obviously does here and does throughout the book of Acts, and just focus on the impact that this woman was having in her world. Is that okay? Just to leave Peter alone for a moment. Okay, awesome. That's legible. At Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Her name translated is Dorcas or Gazelle. And this woman was full of good works and constant acts of mercy. However, she fell sick in those days and died. Her carers washed her and laid her in an upper room. The disciples at Joppa heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda. So they sent two men to Peter, imploring him to come to them without delay. Peter got up and went with them. On reaching Joppa, they brought Peter into the upper room. All the widows stood by weeping. They showed Peter the coats and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them alive. Peter asked everyone to leave the room. He knelt and prayed. Then he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha," or Dorcas, "arise." Tabitha opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He offered her his hand and lifted her up. Then he called the holy ones and widows and presented Tabitha alive. The miracle became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Peter ended up staying many days in Joppa as a guest of Simon, a tanner. At Joppa, there was a disciple named Dorcas. A pretty simple sentence. It's right at the beginning of that the first part of that scripture. Its significance lies in its reference to Dorcas. She was a disciple. You might say, thanks, Sam, yet again, being fairly literal and fairly self-evident. But the idea that before anything else can have value, here is a woman of God who is identified first as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, someone who had committed their life to following him because of the truth that he represented. The sacrifice that he'd made, and all that comes from that. See, I love the idea that it's framed against the city of Joppa. And I only discovered this recently because I was prompted by a friend of mine to look into it. But it's a city that sits as a seaport near Jerusalem, as an intersection point and a thoroughfare. It has a significance that goes biblically beyond this story alone. Peter has the revelation about the sheet that comes down with the animals that we can now eat, but we couldn't have eaten if he hadn't received the revelation, and so on and so forth. It was also where Jonah left in order to take his ill-fated travels in a boat and to be swallowed by a whale. But what it was also was an intersection point where people would come and go. And so at some point, someone carried the word and the truth of the gospel to this lady, Dorcas, and shared it and witnessed it. So Dorcas was a believer. And I'm sharing this with you because it's this argument or this contention that I think we can all believe in, that true significance comes, first of all, from having a relationship with the living God, being his child. We live in a world that seeks significance in various ways. I'm going to put it to you that we seek it through prestige, through possessions, or pleasure. And none of those things in themselves are wrong, but they don't have eternal value. What matters most is knowing and living to love and please him. Jesus himself said a number of times that many people who seem first in this life will be last in eternity, while many people who seem last in this life will be first in eternity. We've got to live with this eternal perspective. And how can you have an eternal perspective if you don't understand the thing that you're living for? So let's be a disciple first. Can't all live in Joppa, but you know, people come through Melbourne too. It's important. This woman was full of good works and constant acts of mercy. See, once you start following Jesus, something happens. You're transformed, you become a different person. A change of heart occurs. You kind of stop living for yourself and start living out the thing that's within you. I loved what Daryl shared before. I was like, this guy's so stealing my thunder. Can someone just get him off the stage, please? But here's an example of a woman who didn't do it once. The other key word in this is constant for me. It's not like it's a one-off thing. You're transformed, and then you start to outwork it. And it's not incidental, it's intentional, and it continues. And I love the example, and I've seen it. I mean, Daryl shared it so well. We talked about Judith, but you could point to Eric, you could point to Shabu, you could point to the guys that are getting around Daryl and supporting in that ministry as it starts to birth within this house. And you could go, hang on a minute, what's starting here is good works and constant acts of mercy. Not so much Shabu, maybe Reshma, because he just delegates everything. We've talked about that. But what I love about it is it's not isolated because it's not forced. It's authentic and real because it's coming from within her. She was full of good works. It's like she was pregnant with good works because of the Holy Spirit indwelling her. Right? And it just kind of comes back to that Ephesians 2:22. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I'm not telling you that good works are the reason we're saved. I just want to make sure we're clear. I know we are clear because it's my family, I understand what you understand. It's grace. It's about faith. It's not by works. But we are God's handiwork. We're created in Christ to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. He gave us our purpose. He gave us our design. He gave us our desire. And he just asked us to live it out, right? Where would a good sermon be, or even an okay sermon, be without a quote from St. Francis of Assisi? I just like to drop this in every now and then because, you know, it's good. See, this quote for me is about saying the Christian life is not about knowing stuff, although I do think theology and doctrine is important, okay? I'm going to put to you, because I believe it, that the Word and the Spirit need to be connected together. Right? But it's not just about knowing stuff. And it's not just about being a kind of person. Although I'm going to tell you that I think character is really important too. Okay? But if you agree with the things that I've just said about the indwelling of the Spirit and the kind of filling that comes from that and the outworking that comes out of that, it is about going around doing the good that you're called to do in your everyday life. Not because that becomes your identity, but it becomes an important expression of the thing that's within you. See, with Dorcas, we have no record of any of the words that she said. Although she obviously said many good things, right? It was her deeds, her good works that she's remembered for. So we've got no record of her writing or preaching a sermon or even acts of worship, albeit they're all important things. It was her life that was significant. She simply devoted her life to doing good and to acts of charity that benefited the needy. See, when St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel always and if necessary, use words, he's just basically saying the only Bible that some people will ever read is your life. See, here is a woman of God who was strategically positioned in her community to do simple things, to provide for their needs. And she was equipped with the things that were required to fulfill those needs. See, I want to agree here in this church, in this place, in this celebration service, that each of us are strategically positioned to impact people around us. Is that okay? Can we agree that?
Yeah.
Okay. But what that expression is the thing that we get to discover in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. See, Dorcas did a bunch of sewing. I can't sew, honestly. If I tried to sew, it would just be, I think it would actually be painful for people around me and probably for me as well. But there are things that I can do. One of the things that I've been moved to do in our house is I've been moved to cook. So I basically cook every day now for the kids and Val, and I'm sure there's sneaky takeout being done on the side because, you know, it's fairly uninspiring cooking, to be honest. It's basically variations on pasta and noodles. So if you like pasta and noodles, feel free to come round. I'm getting really good at those. But for me, I was called into that because in this season, Father said, make it about home. Just make it about home. And I had to learn to cook. But those expressions can shift and change and move from season to season, and that's okay. But if you connect it with constancy, or this idea, just as Dorcas did, that you just do it, right? It starts to have a kind of relevance that goes beyond the season that you're in. And the only reason you're constant is if you realize what you're doing has a purpose. And that purpose is connected to the person that you follow. Does that make sense? Am I talking gibberish at this point? Moving past the pasta and the noodles, you know? So let me ask the question, what's in your hands? See, if you look at the life of this woman of God, you're talking about, and we don't know if she was ever married, right? She might have been a widow herself. What we do know is that she was a woman in the first century. And that was tough, because that was definitely a man's world. See, being a woman in the first century had limitations. It had constraints. It had expectations. But Dorcas didn't sit and wait for her husband to arrive. She didn't sit back and say, listen, before I can start my life in ministry and my life of living out the thing that God's put inside of me, I'm going to wait to find my life partner and then he's going to do it for me. Now, I'm not picking on that particular scenario or situation, but in the first century, this was a man's world. And it was very easy to limit yourself because of that expectation. The constraints that we might think of today are different. We might look at where we are in our workplace, in our family life. We might look at where we're positioned in the hierarchy of things, because they're all things that can kind of impact how we think about our capacity. It reminds me of when God called Moses to help him rescue Israel out of Egypt, and he was full of excuses. All these reasons why he wasn't qualified and why he shouldn't go. In the end, God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, a rod, because he was a shepherd and he carried a rod. And that rod became the rod of God, an instrument of power. So for me, the question is, for all of us, what's in your hand? What's God put in your hand that you can use to impact lives around you? And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be big. It can be big, it can be small, but it has to be something that you act on, that you respond to. See, we talked about the constancy of what Dorcas did. She was always doing good and helping the poor. And I think the idea of that is that there's faithfulness within it. She didn't do it one time and in isolation, because that's not how God works. We've got a faithful God who's always with us, who's constant in his love for us. And he's just asking us to mirror that into the world. Now, I'm giving you this as a preamble. See, when the Apostle Peter came to Joppa, all the widows stood by weeping. They showed Peter the coats and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them alive. Let me ask you something. What do we think is significant here? What do we think is actually important in this simple scripture? I love the idea that here was a woman who had acted out of a simple act of obedience, a joyful obedience, but whose actions had touched so many lives that all the widows wanted to present the garments that she'd made. I don't know, there's no description here as to whether the garments were any good. Could have been average, right? Could have had holes all over them, it could have been misstitched. We have no idea. truthfully. But what is significant is that all the widows stood by weeping. See, she started one garment at a time. I can imagine this. I'll get my needle, I'll get my thread, and I'll just make one garment and I'll give it to one widow. And then we built, and it built, and it built. And when she died, all the widows came to the apostle and showed her the garments. A city paused because a widow who makes garments died. So I had to rethink a couple of things. See, because up to this point, I'm sitting here going, it's all about significance. It's all about significance. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to make my noodles. And that's what it's going to be about. Got it. Thank you, Lord. I've figured it out. It's all about noodles and pasta and... But then a question started to frame in my head. What if prominence serves the purpose of significance? And where do I get that from? Did I just make that up? This is a little. This miracle became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it's this idea that sometimes we think we're doing something and we're doing it because it's humble. And I'm not, by the way, I love this idea of humility. I think our Father teaches that as well. And we're doing it to be contrite. And all of that has importance because it's part of the intention that we come at it with. It's the heart, if you will. And we touch one life. And maybe if we're constant enough and if we're faithful enough, we touch many lives. And these aren't, and we're not, the expressions of this could be multifaceted, right? It's the conversation in the workplace. It's the kid in kids' church who carries it, even though you didn't realize. It's the family member who you're just nice to because you love them so much. And it's painful, but you love them anyway. And you do it because of what's inside of you. Because Father told you to. Because Father encouraged you to. And then one day, it changes. It shifts. And I've had to wrestle with this idea because I started to feel like I was, and I don't know if I'm alone in this, honestly, I could be, right? I started to feel like I was responsible for the miracle. Okay, I've got to raise this person from the dead. But in my own context, in my own much smaller way. But it's the recognition that if we're faithful and we're responding to the Holy Spirit, we're in a partnership. And here is a woman who put her very life into this action of being faithful. And then God said, I see that. Let me take your life and let me show the whole city why it's significant. This miracle became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. She was a disciple first. She believed. She responded. She touched many lives in a way that reflected faithfulness. And then a miracle happened. Is it prominence for significance? You know, when we sit down and we talked about, you saw the videos, and the videos just kept playing, the PNG stuff. And you sit down and you say, okay, what are we doing there? Why are we doing that as a church? Why are we sending AJ out? Why are we sending Ted out? And what does all that look like? To be honest, some part of this is us figuring that out, right? But what we do know, that is, in some part, we have a calling on this house to be doing this. Giving prominence to significance. Why don't we get Daryl up here to talk about stuff? I don't even know if he likes doing it. The microphone bit anyway. I know he loves serving. Why don't we get Amy up here yelling about scrubs and shine women? And why do we do that? Because when we go out and we do it, we're giving prominence to significance. We're putting ourselves in a place of service in order that others can understand what sits behind it. Let me tell you that I wanted to sit here and draw all these great deep examples from all over the world and bring it into this PowerPoint pack because I love PowerPoint. But to be honest with you, the examples are sitting around. Just take a look around. Just take a look around. Look around and look at the people next to you and say, what is their role in bringing significance and prominence together? Because the examples are actually in this house. I don't need to go out and quote quotes from other places. It's just scripture in here. But I love acronyms, so I came up with an acronym. And honestly, hopefully this is just following the pattern of what the scripture has said. We start with Jesus. We start with Jesus. And then we go through this process of encountering who he is, and then we think that's done, so we'll do some good works. But then we realize as we do the good works that we're actually encountering more of who he is. And I just did this in front of all of you. Okay. But then we kind of go, oh, we're so small and we're so insignificant. We'll go back to bed. We'll do a Snoopy. And that's the moment when we have to respond despite ourselves. We've got to say, God, we're so scared. And we understand our frailty. And we know all of our weaknesses. But we feel like this is where you've put us to be. And it's that moment, right? You're sitting next to a colleague at in your workplace and you know what you should say and you're not sure if you're going to say it. And then one day you say it. And then you put your head down and try to hide under the table. Right? Or is this me? Okay. We respond despite ourselves. And then we keep doing it. We value faithfulness. And I want to use the word lifestyle because at some point it becomes a lifestyle, but the first steps in this lifestyle are not always stylish. And then in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, we get to establish a bit of a legacy. And I'm not talking about a legacy for the sake of legacy. I'm talking about legacy in the way that the kingdom defines it. A legacy of touching lives, inspiring people to be better than they are, and then ultimately encountering the creator that we know. Is that okay? Now, I want to do something. I'm going to go, as we ask the worship team to come up, I want to do something today because this is family. Is that all right? And you've already started moving around to pick up bread and wine and stuff. I want to get all the elders up here. And I just want to pray into every single person that's in this room. Because this is not something where I get to go, if you've been moved, please raise your hands. This is one of those things where I go, this is for every single person. And I'm going to ask people to come forward. And hopefully I'm not being too forceful. But I just want to inspire the next step in wherever we are, right? And you might be right at the stop going, who is this Jesus guy? I just want to start with that. I want to know more about who he is. Or you might be in that place of saying, I've got an idea, and I actually believe this, by the way. I've got an idea, and I want to follow it up. I want to do more with it. You want to encounter through good works. Okay? Or you might say, I've started this thing, but oh man, I'm scared. I'm so far out on a limb, out on the water, all those wonderful metaphors. But I just want to respond despite myself. Or you might say, Father, I'm so tired. I've been carrying this weight for a long time. I've been serving in this way for a long time. I'm just tired. And you just want to rejuvenate and revitalize and understand why you're doing what you're doing. I want to pray into that as well. Is that okay? Will you come forward if I ask? People are nodding. This is good. This is encouraging. But mostly because there is a calling upon each of us in this place. It's not the same calling. It doesn't have to be. That's not the point. There's a unique purpose that the Father has placed upon every life here. And what I want to do is pray into that unique purpose for discovery and activation of it. So as we sing and as we move into a time of worship, can I just ask that we come forward and just receive a prayer for whatever that next step is. Come on. Father, as we stand together today, and as we create a movement in this space, Father, we move forward with intentionality to receive more of who you are. We want to discover more of who you are. We want to put you at the first, Lord. We want to start with Jesus. We want to start with the idea that, Lord, we're following you. It's not a program. It's not even about those that we're going to go out and serve, Lord. But it starts with you. And Father, we're also going to declare today that we want to respond despite fears and anxieties that we might have. That we might have been holding back a little bit, Lord, because of where we're human, Father. But we want to move past that. And Lord, there's a part of us that wants to say we're tired and we just need to be refreshed. That we've been serving and being faithful and we've been doing all that we can. And God, we just want to be renewed in you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, help us to understand that even though we might seem like we're in the quiet place in the corner, that you look upon our lives and our tasks and our activities and our relationships in every facet, Lord, and you see significance because we do it in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. I'm just going to invite you all to come forward. I really want us to pray into this. I want our elders to be around. I just want to lay hands and I just want us to activate. And I just don't want it to be a kind of this, you have to be in a certain place to do it thing, because I just don't think that's how the Father views it.